Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet, I climbed down up inside. Choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and for the rest of this hour, we're going to be talking about car problems and car questions, and that really relates to you. We have a full team of automotive people here to help you with your questions and your problems. All you have to do is give us a call, and right now is the best time to get on the phone, because otherwise sometimes the lines get kind of, you hear the busy signal. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, and this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. They're located on the south side of Maine, just east of Stapley in Mesa. Brian and Thelma, they run Thompson's Auto Body, and their family has since 1970. They're equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on foreign domestic vehicles, and they're AAA approved. They're ASC certified Blue Seal shop, and Brian is on the TechNet Council for CarQuest, so they're deeply involved in our industry. Thompson's Auto was named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and I'm really proud to have them on my list. That list is available at marksalem.com. Now, I have another favorite couple here. We've got Vicki and Craig Bell from Bell Auto Service, which is the McDowell and the 101, the north side of the road, just west of the 101. How'd I do, Craig?
That's good.
Good. And they've been there, well, you've been there since Tempe first started and Scottsdale first started. They're pretty close.
That was edge of Scottsdale Indian Reservation one side, and then nothing between us and the Salt River. River bottom.
For a long time. So, and when did you guys start in that general area? I know that you had a gas station. We all came from a gas station. But when did the gas station, what were the years of the gas station there on McDowell?
We started Granite Reef and McDowell with Shell Station.
Okay.
75. I was 15 at that time, so perfect age. Cleaned bathrooms.
but you knew how to handle a broom, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was full service. I did full service gas.
Those were the days.
Yeah. I checked all, air filters, checked the oil for everybody, washed all the windows, mm-hmm. and like I said, clean up and then tire repair. And then you moved up into oil changes, and then you moved up into repairs of cars. So
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Now, I started in 1968. At a gas station, a Shell station on Broadway and Priest.
Okay.
And Ken Vivian owned it. Now, Ken caught me a lot. A little bit of it wasn't really good. but to this day, I am eternally grateful. You remember in the gas station days, you'd stand around when you were a pump jockey, mm-hmm. and you'd wait for the ding-ding.
Yep.
Now, the next thing you'd do, and correct me if I'm wrong, the next thing you'd do is you'd stand in one place and you'd kind of look around to see if anybody else was going to get it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, because we usually had two or three guys working, a couple guys in the bays, a couple guys were working the bay or the islands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you'd always hear the ding, ding. And we actually thought about bringing that back at the shop, putting a ding bell across the front of the aisle, uh-huh. just to bring back the nostalgia.
I think that'd be great.
Ding, ding.
Now, pretend Vicki, your wife, is not sitting to my left.
Sure.
All right. There's a car that pulls in. It goes ding, ding. There's two or three of you. It's a pretty girl. Is there a race to the car?
Yeah, I guess.
Especially if it's a convertible.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a huge credit card center, a First National Bank credit card center that ran 24 hours not far mm-hmm. from us. So we had a slew of women come through on their way to work and on their way from work. And so but I can remember there was a friend of mine, Pat Harrelson, and he's still around. He's living down in Sierra Vista. And him and I went to high school together, and ding, ding, you'd look around, and Pat would just be pretending like he was working. And we used to tease him about that all the time. But those were the days that, like you said, we started on the gas, on the full-service island, which no one has today.
Right.
Then we went to tire repairs. Now, did you break your teeth on tire repairs by plugging or patching, both? What'd you do?
Oh, we'd do both. I mean, we'd patch ones that had to be patched, but okay. We had a good deal with Safety Seal. They had the best plugs in the in the world.
We've got Caller Bob.
We never had any problems with those. So we used those up until, 5 years ago when the big tire scares started coming out, and we stopped doing tire repairs. So
Now what they've got is a plug patch combination.
Yeah.
And that's what most everybody is using, and it certainly isn't, but it necessitates you taking the tire off the wheel, marking the weights, marking the valve stem, and all that kind of stuff.
And the nice thing about the plugs in the old days, you didn't even have to take the tire off a car. You could just turn it to the right area, get the plug, boom, you were done.
Yeah. And so then you go into, like you said, oil changes, and that's where you kind of break your teeth. I remember one time I was helping this guy, Louie, do a clutch. And we were in the third bay, which is where the sump is, where all the oil and the gas, where you rinse the bays off. It ends up there. It's a sand water separator today, but we called it the sump. Mm-hmm. So Louis laying underneath the car. Now, how big of a plate? Do you remember the plate over the sump?
Well, we've got one in ours still. So ours is an old gas station that we've taken over. And it's 6 feet long by 4 feet wide. So
how thick is it?
It's a quarter inch steel.
So. Yeah. It'll hold the weight of a car.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Louis's underneath the car, and he's smoking. And he lights a cigarette, and he reaches over his shoulder, and he drops the match into a hole.
Oh.
And it blows up, and the plate comes off the ground and just smashes him underneath the car. Then when the plate comes down, it doesn't come back in the same spot, and he rolls into the pit. I don't know if I've ever laughed so hard. Of course, we didn't know if he was hurt.
Right.
But, those were the good days. Did you ever at work nights when nobody else was around?
Yeah. Always over.
All right. And we used to take a car, and we'd take it into the bays, and we'd pour transmission fluid down the carburetor. And fill the bays. Oh, we just smoked the place out. I mean, you couldn't even see inside, and there was smoke wisping out of the end of the doors, and we thought that was the funniest thing in the world. Then we had an Exxon station across the street and a Union 76 station, and I ran the midnight shift, and we used to play football out in the street, and we all had different uniforms on. But if somebody got a ding-ding, we'd all run over there, and there'd be eight guys, tires, hood, everything, because we left our football out on Priest while we were playing football. Sure. And I look back fondly on those days, and I'm really sorry that my kid didn't have the opportunity to do that because gas stations went away.
Right. That was back in the days when growing up as a kid, it was easy to get an after-school job or a summer job, you know. And I feel bad for the kids nowadays. I mean, it's hard finding work, especially that kind of, you know, that's, I think, character building, I think.
Well, no, I think you're right. They don't have a place where they can go do first full service and communicate with people and learn.
Right.
People are sometimes happy and sometimes mad. Mm. They don't have the opportunity to have that sense of accomplishment by going over the car, checking the tires, washing the windows, checking everything under the hood. They don't have that ladder that goes to tire repairs and oil changes and stuff. They don't have any of that. And that's where we all learned how to fix cars. Yeah. So, all righty, Vicki. Has Craig been behaving himself?
For the most part, yes, he has.
How long have you guys been married? You first.
I know. This.
Okay.
It'll be 30 years this May 15th.
Attaboy.
That was the only thing I wanted out of our whole marriage was I wanted to be married on May 1st.
Yeah.
Guess what? I didn't get married on May 1st.
Yeah. Well, whose fault was that?
Just no place to get married at the time. So
Las Vegas, you could have got Elvis. Yeah, I got
the venue we wanted was already booked. Yeah. So.
Okay. All right. And like you guys, we've been married 38 years sometime in February, okay? Just spot me that, okay? I know that the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th and 18th are all something to do with my wife's birthday, my son's birthday, Valentine's Day, our anniversary, and somebody else's birthday. So I get them all mixed up, so I think I'm forgiven. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. We're going to talk to Bob. Bob, thank you for calling in early. How can we help you today?
Morning. I have a half-ton Chevy pickup with Michelin light truck. They're 75 by R15 tires.
Okay.
And yesterday I went to the big box store where I bought them, because I wanted to have them filled up to 50 pounds, because I have the nitrogen filled. I don't know what you think about that. That's another issue. But I told the guy I wanted 50 pounds, because that's what the tire says is the max pressure, you know, to get the best gas mileage. And on the door sticker, it says 35.
Okay.
And he said, you know you're going to get worse mileage because you're going to increase the diameter of your tire, and a bigger diameter tire is going to get worse gas mileage.
Yeah,
that's
kind of crazy.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, I don't. I'll just be real blunt. That's just not the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, think about this. if the tire lays flat on the roadway at 35, if we aired up to 55, we're going to have a little bit of bulge. We're going to have a little less tire on the ground because the tread's going to turn into a moon.
Right.
And I want to tell you something. Let me ask you, Craig. Do you inflate Vic? Well, first of all, you still love Vicky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you inflate her tires at the door sticker or at the maximum inflation written on the side of the tire?
I usually somewhere in between.
Okay.
Because I do for her. I do more ride how she likes it to ride,
which is on the softer side, the lower number.
Right.
Okay. But if you wanted to give her fuel economy.
Get a little bit higher than normal.
Okay. Yeah. And I do mine. I use the extremes. Right. If my wife complains because it runs like a covered wagon,
right,
then I soften up the tires. But if I want fuel economy, I want the tire to run cooler, I want the best fuel economy, I'm going to go the maximum inflation. And that's what you should do, Bob. You can go anywhere between your 35 and your 50. He's wrong about that. He's got it backwards. If you drop the air pressure, it makes the sidewalls bulge and you've got more tire on it. Now, here's the last thing. You know I do, Craig, you know I do a lot of mechanical court cases.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, if your car is in a yaw, and a yaw is going sideways down the road,
okay?
So now you're in the driver's seat and the passenger, and we're going right at 50 miles an hour. Do you want those tires to be fully inflated, or do you want those tires to be at the lowest end?
Probably fully inflated.
And here's the reason. If the tires are at the low end, there's a potential for the car to stick, trip,
right,
and roll.
Roll.
Okay? It's just like the Indy cars and stuff. You don't ever see them as they go around a corner and they get into a yaw.
Sure.
You don't ever see them trip and roll.
Right.
You see them slide.
Mm-hmm.
I want my family to slide. If my wife loses control or if my son loses control, I want the car to not be sticking to the road because I don't want that car,
right,
rolling around upside down.
Yeah, right.
And so there's a safety issue as far as I'm concerned. And you're going to get better fuel economy. The tire's, okay, going to last longer. It's going to run cooler. And you don't have to worry about it if you get a nail and get a 3 or 4 pound slow leak because you've got some buffer zone in there.
Right.
So, Bob, one other thing about the nitrogen. Craig, hold out your hand. How much nitrogen is in your hand right now?
30 seconds.
Whatever's in the air, I guess.
That's exactly right. 79.8. If you'll let me call it 80, I'll finish this on the other side of the break. Hey, Mark Salem here. When you...
The mechanic raised up from under my...
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. The phone number is 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, I'm ready for you. But anyway, we're going to talk to Bob real quick, and then we're going to grab Bill. Bob, there's 79 point something. Let's call it 80% nitrogen in your hand. That means that the tire has 80% nitrogen already in it. The machines that sell nitrogen are incapable of anything better than 95%, and some of them are even lower than that. So what you're going to do is you're going to change the nitrogen content in your tire for whatever dollars it is from 80 to as much as 92. And the reason why nobody can do 95 is there's no way to hook a vacuum to the tire and suck it flat like a, what do they call those, Ziploc bags. So we can't suck all the air out of the tire and then just put nitrogen in. So at best, you're going to go from 80% to 90%. And the only reason why we even start talking about nitrogen in the tires because NASCAR uses them. And if your wife drives 200 miles an hour, and if she drives like Vicky does, according to Craig, and if you're going to land a plane that weighs 20 tons on some tires, then nitrogen might be good for you. But other than that, it's not something I sell. Do you guys do nitrogen?
No, we haven't done it.
All righty. Let's go to Bill. Bill, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Yes, hi. I wanted to share something with the audience. I was just in Montrose, Colorado, earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to take the gas station with me.
We've got Cynthia holding on.
A gallon. And, you know, this is kind of an isolated area. And what was interesting is they had four grades of gas. They had 85 octane, which they called regular. Then they had a plus 87, a plus 89, and then premium for 91 octane.
Wow.
But the car ran fine on the 85 octane. Why can't we get 85 octane here and save the money that they were saving up in Colorado?
I have no idea. I haven't seen 85 octane in a long time.
Well, they also had it in Utah. It wasn't quite that inexpensive.
Some of that might be the winter blends and the summer
and the
blends
ethanols.
And the ethanols in there.
Well, I think what it is, I think when you increase the altitude, you decrease the car's need for octane.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
And this is high altitude. This is like 6,000 feet up.
Yeah, which would typically mean that Flagstaff might have 85, although I haven't looked at it.
I think it's like when we were in the gas station business, it's what you got from the supplier,
right.
What they had.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have 85 anymore anywhere around us. So
yeah. Yeah, it was all over Utah and Colorado. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And now, let me ask you a question. Do you know what the difference is between low octane and high octane, other than the octane rating?
Yes, I do. With higher octane, it's got more resistance to ignition. It actually has less energy than regular. Regular has more energy than high octane, but the high octane prevents pre-ignition and allows the spark to ignite the gas-air mixture when you have a high compression.
Okay.
Rather than diesel.
All right. Let me just change what you said into something that's more user-friendly. In regular gasoline, in low-octane gasoline, one molecule ignites 10,000, and 10,000 ignite 1 million. So the burn time is about 2 milliseconds of time. From the time the spark plug goes until the time we burn all that fuel up, it's 2 milliseconds of time. Super gas, higher octane gas, in an exaggerated way, one ignites two ignites four ignites six, and the burn is much slower across the top of the piston, which pushes harder on the top of the piston. So, and the difference is 3 milliseconds of time. So if I punch Craig like that, that's low. That's low octane. But if I put my hands on his chest and I walk him backwards as fast as I can for 5 or 6 steps, that's higher octane. And today's cars with computers, they have knock sensors, and they're mm-hmm. positioned all over the engine, and typically one or two.
Right.
And they tell the computer when there's knocking, and then the computer will retard the timing a degree or two, and this happens 300 to 600 times a second, depends on whether you own a Ford. How am I doing?
Very good.
But anyway, listen, thank you for bringing that up. That's an interesting subject. Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, thank you.
You betcha. Did you have something to say?
About the self-service islands?
Yeah.
Self-service islands?
Yeah.
You might want to ask Craig why it took him so long getting to those full-service islands.
Oh, when the girls. Is that what you're talking about,
yes,
the girls?
I'm sorry.
Oh, and you know, you hedged on me a bit. Why did it take you so long to get to the self-service or full-service island? Why wasn't it important?
Well, like I said, we were talking about we'd been married 30 years. Well, we were dating 6 years before that, and where I met Vicky was at the gas station. My dad had hired her for a self-serve gas station attendant.
Okay.
So I was probably chasing her around a lot more than I was.
So let me get this straight. You didn't run out to the pretty girl on the full-service island because Vicky was there.
I didn't always do that, I know, but yeah.
Depended if I was working or not.
Yeah. Oh, now we get the... Well, I can admit to you this. When Renee was there, I didn't run out to the full service island either. But I remember my boss used to go out there, and he would be out there talking to these girls and showing them this is the belt, and then he'd run in and get a new belt, and he'd show them the new one and show them the old one and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
That happened a lot.
Sure.
That happened a lot. But now, when you were on, your job was full serve, Vicki?
I started on self serve, moved to full serve.
Okay.
Graduated to the tire repair, then the oil change, and
all the way down the line.
Yep, pretty much.
So tell me, did he ask you to marry him during an oil change or anything like that?
No, I think it was after a date or two.
Okay. Oh, you were quick.
No, we were. That was the other funny story. There was, four or five guys that were all age related to me and her.
Uh-huh.
And we were all fighting over Vicky.
Okay. All right.
We'd all go on these. We'd go out and hang out together, you know, nights, and it'd be Vicky and four or five guys.
Hey, 30 years ago, you won.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk in private outside of Vicky's ears, but I think you won.
Yeah, I won.
All righty. Cynthia, how are you today? What can we do for you today?
Hey, I have a 2001 Subaru Forester L.
Okay.
And it's got the fancy self-darkening interior rear view mirror, which has, of course, several years past, fried in our wonderful sunlight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to replace it with a plain old mirror. I don't need a compass. I don't need a clock. I don't need any of that stuff. But I don't want to go through the hassle of having to change the mount.
Well, is it glued to the windshield?
Yes.
We're all real aware of how to handle that.
Okay.
You know, you can go to any glass company. You can go buy a mirror that you like. Go to Pep Boys and buy a mirror you like. Mm-hmm. Call your glass company. Meet one of the guys. They know how to remove that puck off of your windshield. They're going to scrape the windshield, put new glue on it, put the puck for your mirror, hand you your mirror, and say, hang this on 24 hours later. That's really,
really
easy. Yeah. Now, he's also going to take the wires that go to that thing, and he's going to tuck it up into your headliner so they won't show.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I think we use First Choice.
First choice.
That's who we use.
Okay.
Do you have a glass company you like?
I use Speedy.
Speedy?
Yeah.
Okay. So, First Choice or Speedy. Just talk to him. Say, can I meet one of your guys? What I want him to do is take the puck off and put the new puck on. That's it. The worst case scenario is the windshield will break when they do that. I've removed lots of pucks and never broke a windshield, but that is one of the possibilities.
I got one. I've
one,
got one
minute.
You did?
Oh.
I don't one. Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of times it's just how long it's been on there, blah blah blah. But you said you have an 01, so yours is 10 years old.
Yeah. Right.
And typically they fall off before 10 years.
Right.
Especially in the Arizona heat.
Exactly. So it's probably going to be pretty easy to remove it. But that's your option. And just go find something that you like. Like I said, where else would you go besides Pep Boys?
Pep Boys, Checker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, O'Reilly or something like that. Well, thank you, Cynthia.
Okay,
thank you for calling.
One more question real quick.
Go ahead.
Some areas of the country have, for want of a better word, rent a bay.
Uh-huh.
Because you live in an HOA where they don't allow you to do your own work on the street or the driveway, et cetera. Anything like that in the West Valley?
No, but I heard the other day. Well, I'm going to have to take a break. When we come back, Craig's waving his head, too, and I've only got 10 seconds. So you stay with us. 602-508-0960 for the rest of you. 602-508-0960. And we'll tell you your answer right after this. At your service, 602-508-0960, Craig and Vicki Bell, who own Bell Auto Service. It's the 101 in Pima Road in Scottsdale. Been around since 1975, and they're honestly good, good people, and that's why they're on our list. And we have lots of people on our list that are actually husband-wife, male-female kind of relationship, and it works kind of nice. Now, we're going to talk to Cynthia, and what was her last question? There was a question that Cynthia had. She had one more question about her Subaru Forester. Because I didn't write it down and I forgot. Okay. Well, Cynthia, you got to call back and tell me what that last question was.
It'll take me a second. My old age is starting.
Okay. All right. And I just can't remember what the heck we were talking about. We were talking about a rearview mirror. And then, we'll remember it. Susan, good morning to you, Susan. How can we help you today?
Oh, first of all, I'll tell you what Cynthia's last question was.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Were there any bays, rent a bay?
Oh, yes. Yes. We were just talking about
that. Available in the West Valley.
Hold on.
Okay, I wanted to know the difference. I'm looking at buying a Miata, and there's 5 speeds, and there's 6 speeds, and they're all like 1.8 four-cylinder engines. And I know with the 6 speeds, there's something called a slip differential, and so, you know, if you can basically tell me the difference and what is the driving experience difference?
I think the gear ratio is, you're going to do, sixth gear is like an overdrive gear.
Yeah.
It's going to be a one-to-one ratio. One revolution of the engine is one revolution of the rear end. And so a 5-speed will get close to that. You'll get slightly better fuel economy on the highway in sixth gear than you would in fifth gear. If you're going to drive around town, I'd pick the fifth gear. If you're going to drive up in Flagstaff and you need this limited slip differential, which is both tires pulling for you, not just one, but both, then you're probably going to have to step up to the 6-speed and to get the limited slip, which is going to be better in low traction conditions.
Okay, because I will be doing some mountain driving, pacing, you know, and a little bit higher than that.
I can make it easy for you on the shift here. You're going to want the tachometer to be always between 1,600 and 2,000 RPM as you're cruising. So if you had a 6-speed and you shifted into 6th gear on your way to Payson and your tachometer was running 11 or 12, I probably wouldn't run that. I'd probably shift up to 5th, and if 5th was between that magic, call it 1,500 to 2,000, that's where the sweet spot is for fuel economy. And so it wouldn't make any difference if you only used five speeds. I have a 10-speed on my big truck, my big Volvo truck. I use 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, and 10th. I don't ever use 1, 2, and 3 at all, and it's a 10-speed. So, and then as far as the Miata is concerned, this is not a car that you're going to be able to pack skis into and take four people. You know that.
Right.
They're very fun cars. They corner well. They drive well. Maintenance, you handle maintenance.
Maintenance, same as any other, if you keep up with
it. Is there anything to worry about on like an 03? I've seen on a couple of ads that I'm looking at that something happened one year. I don't know which years. There was a really bad radiator or crappy radiator, so you'll see radiator repairs on a few of the ads.
2 minutes.
They're going to be gone on radiators by now.
Yeah.
I mean, the 2003s have already had one in there.
Right, they've already had that repair.
Already had what?
Yeah, they've already had a radiator in them, a 2003 car. They typically would have already, we would have already put another radiator, but that alone would not be the difference, because I got to tell you something, Miata is not the only one that's had bad radiators lately.
There's I'm going to buy one actually to look drive and test drive one right now in about an hour. What if it's got like 52,000 miles on it and it's all quote pristine and everything else, but the guy doesn't know if anything's been done with the radiator. Is there anything I can look at? Or
no, could you tell on a radiator whether it was an OEM or an aftermarket? Neither could
unless it was the, you know, some of the aftermarkets come with a different sticker. You'd be able to tell that. But
now here's what you need to do. You need to make sure you got the maintenance records, because what's happening right now is people are going to the auctions and buying a car and they're putting wax on it. And then they're turning around and they're selling it. And when you ask for maintenance records or historical data on this car, they're going to tell you their grandfather died and that they're here from Pennsylvania and they're selling Grandpa's Miata, and that's, and they can't find the maintenance records. And then the answer to that is they don't have any maintenance records. Right. So if he says, on the other hand, the person says, on the other hand, you go down to the corner garage, go to Bell Auto, go to Salem, go to here, go to there, and he's got all my records, then you're home free. But you want maintenance records. And at 50,000 miles, there's two stopping points, a big one at 30 and a big one at 60, and you aren't even at the 60 yet. So the 30's fluids and filters,
right?
Pretty much fuels and filters. All right, when we come back, we're going to take more calls, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Mark Salem, Vicky, and Craig Bell at your service right here on 960 The Patriot. We'll be back. And, Cynthia, we're going to answer your questions about bays for rent here in the Phoenix area.
Hey, Mark Salem.
Pushed the wrong button again, but nevertheless, I'm sorry about that. And I want to tell you about a body shop. Phoenix Body Works and Greg May, the owner, they can be your advocate, and you need one if you have an insurance claim. Phoenix Body Works up north is hassle-free and insurance company-friendly. They know how to work with all insurance companies, and Greg will make sure your car is put back together the right way and on time and at an affordable price with quality parts. It's important to repair your vehicle to its pre-accident condition. Put me back the way you found me. I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for many years, and I've heard nothing but excellent things from its customers. I'm proud to have him on my best car repair shops list, and he's located up on 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley. You can reach him Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 and Saturday from 9 to 12, 623-582-1434. Okay, Scottsdale. Can I rent your bays area?
Yeah, there's actually up on Scottsdale Road, just south of McDowell.
South of Roosevelt.
Roosevelt, right.
Yep.
Used to be the Ross Automotive Lincoln Mercury.
Uh-huh.
And they have some do-it-yourself rental bays in the back there.
Okay. I think there's a guy at 40th Street north of the I-10.
Okay.
And they rent tools, and they have people there that are technicians, and they help you work on your car. You can pay extra to have a little help, either verbal help or hands help. You can pay extra if you don't have a tool to rent one. But the easiest place to find it, Cynthia, is to go to the local parts store, because the local Napa, CarQuest, O'Reilly's, they'll know where those places are at, because they sell parts to those people that are going to go to those facilities. You said the west side. He's talking Scottsdale, and I'm talking East Phoenix. But if you want one, just go to an auto parts store and ask him, who around here rents bays? I want to work on my car, and I want, you know, to do it myself. So that's the answer. All righty, let's go. We were talking with Susan. And we were finishing up a conversation about the Miata.
Right.
And the idea is that a Carfax is a great thing. because I can't tell you how many times people are surprised by a Carfax, and it doesn't do you any good to buy it after you buy the car.
Right.
And if you're going to drive the car, Susan, make sure that you drive it at highway speeds and you're looking for vibrations and pulls and you're looking that the car handles good and you're looking that it doesn't beat you to death and all that other kind of stuff.
Right.
So, and then what do you guys charge for a used car checkover?
If it's my customers, I do a nominal fee of $25, okay. And I do it for as many cars as they want to bring me.
Okay.
It's $25.
Okay. Each one?
No, I'll do $25 for... I mean, to a max, I guess I've had a couple customers bring in two or three cars, but if it's a good customer, I'm gonna help them out because I know I don't want them to get stuck with something that looks pretty on top, and as soon as you put it on the rack, you look underneath and you go, oh my God, you know.
And you know you bring up a great point, because the bottom line is that how many times have you saved the customer from buying a real piece
of you know what. Right.
We had a lady not too long ago that ordered a Mustang from Texas, and she says, can I have it delivered to the shop? I said, yes, you can. We got that car, the picture, and the car, they weren't even the same. Oh, this thing was wrecked, had body putty all over it, had a bent frame, had all kinds of stuff. She was able to get her money back, but it cost her $500 to ship it back to Texas. Yeah. Now, most shops, it's been my experience, most shops are in the $75 to $125 range for electrical, smog, you know, all the stuff necessary. And basically what we're doing is we're putting together a list of what it needs today, next week, next month, next year. Right. So that lets you know what's going on. And then obviously at 52,000 miles, the one she was looking at, that wouldn't scare me. Would it scare you at 52,000?
No,
that's young.
The only thing you worry about is if 52 is a real...
Mileage. I did a Carfax on a car the other day and mysteriously had dropped 42,000 miles in a six-month period of time. And actually, Carfax noted that there was a mileage discrepancy in it. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, somebody had played with the odometer. And it was one of those cars the customer was going to buy, and we did a Carfax for them. And it was just ugly from the front. Now, we had another lady tell me the other day that she took it to one of our good shops, like yours. She says, I was a little hesitant about spending the $100 for the used car, but she said, they gave me enough information where I called the used car dealer, and I said, I'm going to come to you this paperwork. I'll buy the car if you'll do this work. Well, the shop had bid the work at $650. They took care of the work, and she bought the car for the same price.
Oh, yeah.
So she said, I spent $100 to save $650.
Yeah.
And I would say that you're always going to get your money back because we're going to find something wrong that's going to benefit you.
Right.
Very rarely do we not. Okay, is there any other stories you want to tell about Craig, Vicki? So she's a pump jockey along with you and a bunch of other guys.
Right, yeah.
You know, that is a story made in heaven.
Oh, yeah. I loved working at the gas station. I mean, Shell was pulled out of Arizona in 81.
Yeah.
They sold off all their corner lots to 7-Elevens and Circle K's.
Yes.
And we went down the street and bought a old Texaco
Rush
station.
It was a Rush gas station.
Yeah. But it was a Texaco station built in the 50s.
Yeah.
And we added a few bays to it, and that's where we've been ever since. But... yeah, I love those old days of gas pumps and just, you know, it was like a place to hang out. Guys would come, would come over at night, and it was a great experience.
Well, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by another favorite shop of mine, Larry Harker's Auto Repair. They're a full-service, family-owned operation, 38th Avenue in Indian School. Now, folks, think about this, 38th Avenue in Indian School. If you're south of Camelback, west of the I-17, I don't have anybody in that immediate area in Phoenix except Harker's. And that's because of many, many shops that apply, maybe one out of 30 or 40 actually get on our list, because this is not a financial issue. It's not a money issue. You can't buy your way on. But Larry Harker's, family-owned and operated, he's a trusted name for quality, affordable automotive service, maintenance in the Phoenix area. So if you live anywhere near 38th Avenue in Indian School, then you should try Harker's. Now, folks, I'm not telling you, if you have a good relationship with the shop already, then you should stay there, because a good relationship's important. You've got customers that are how old that have been with your family and your shop?
Oh, as long as we've been around.
75.
Know. Yes. I've got three generations.
Yep.
You know,
we're doing the same.
We're going to grandkids' cars now.
Yep.
grandpa's paying for it, but you know, we're doing the grandpa, we're doing the grandkids' cars.
I have a Hart family. Then I've got the grandfather, mm-hmm. and then the son, and then the kids. Yeah. I've got all three of them. Now, what makes Vicky? What makes your relationship? It's like you're not married truly until you have your first big brouhaha. So. You don't really know about your shop. Finish this sentence.
You don't really know about your shop until. You mean from my perspective?
Yeah. Yes.
Until, whoa, that's a tough one. Really, until I watch the guys interact with the customers. Mm-hmm. You know, especially because I'm a woman, I like to see how they are reacting with their women customers, and how the women come back. They'll talk to me sometimes about how they were treated at other shops. So. I take that information and make sure the guys know, you know, this is how a woman wants to be treated when she walks into the shop. It needs to be clean. It needs to, you know, not have odors. You don't want the smell of gas and oil and all those other mechanical scents.
Yeah. Now, this is a good time for Craig to bring up the point that he wants to hire a female service rider at the shop. And put her on roller skates. What do you think? Put your gun away, please. I have a female service rider, Nancy. And my daughter, Andy's downstairs, and so is my wife, Renee. And frankly, they gravitate to the women before mm-hmm. they go to the men. Yeah. But the answer, from a perspective of a consumer, I think, is that you don't, until you have a problem with the shop and see how they react.
Yeah.
We had a guy the other day. I heard about this from another shop. The shop tells him that he needs a transmission flush. The fluid's dirty. He has a receipt that he just had it done 4, 5, 6 months ago.
So either it wasn't done at the other shop or the shop's not telling him the truth.
There is one other possibility, though. So the shop calls him in and says, look, please, for us, bring it by. They take a white piece of paper. Mm-hmm. They put a dab of brand new transmission fluid on it, and they take the dipstick out, and they shake it over the other side. Clearly it's dirty. Now, how many quarts does the transmission hold on a flush?
Yeah, it could be up to 14, 15, 16.
Exactly. Yeah. How many quarts do you put in when you just do the filter?
Four. Yeah, you're...
Get it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I said to the shop, what'd you do next? And he goes, well, I asked him for the piece of paper where he had it serviced. And he couldn't tell, he didn't know, and I couldn't tell because it just said transmission service for $100-some-odd. But they didn't take the time to write down whether I did the filter and the fluid, and they didn't write down, or I did a flush.
Right.
No one knows. But clearly because the fluid's still dirty, they did 4 quarts and a filter.
Yeah.
So at that point, it's kind of like... That doesn't mean it doesn't need fluid. At least I don't have to fire my technician because he lied to us. And thank you for coming in, but it's up to you. Yeah. So I think the shop told him to go back and ask them, what is this? Because if it was a flush, we have a problem. If it wasn't a flush in 4 quarts, then we don't really have a problem.
Right. Correct.
So, and that's, folks, that's the difference between a flush and a filter. If you do one or the other. Now, I tell my customers, I want you to switch them. I want you to do the filter first and then the flush second. And so each and every time we service your transmission, we bounce back and forth between the two. And the first filter at 30,000 is important because we're going to get all the initial clutch material and metal out of the transmission. So, yeah, that's that. Until you have a problem with your shop, you really don't know how they're going to treat you, especially women. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that many shops have come to the conclusion that at least I can tell you I have. And other shops have told me they've done the same. It's not really who's right or who's wrong anymore. It's do I want to keep you? You know?
Yeah.
If you're going to complain about an air filter that you swear that somebody just put in a week before we did your oil change and we put one in as well, if you're a valuable customer, if you don't run me through the ringer every time you come in, if you've been around a very long time, if your parents did business with you, I am not going to fight with you about that air filter. I'm going to give you your money back and apologize profusely. I am not going to spend the time to try to track down whether your old filter was bad.
Right.
And in this case, which did happen to us not too long ago, we're supposed to put that filter back in the car, in the box, so they can see it for themselves.
Okay.
This technician lost his commission on that ticket because he didn't do that. And I had to pay for the new air filter. But he'll learn from now on that those kinds of things go in the car. But the idea is if you've been a big pain in my tokus for a long time, if every time you come in you want to renegotiate the bill at 5 o'clock, every time you come in you want to negotiate the parts and you think this is Monty Hall's let's make a deal kind of stuff, then I may very well stand firm on an air filter. Just kind of tell you, thanks, but you need to find another repair shop. One of the dealerships guys told me one time, he says, Mark, as hard as you try, there's going to be 5% of your customers that you're not going to like. And he says, and about the time you think you've got rid of all five of them, you're going to get 10 more. And they're right. So, yeah, we like you guys do, treat everybody with respect, but there comes a time where after a while you just say, okay. We extended credit to a lady one time, which we rarely do, and she took twice as long as she said. If I let you draw the terms, then you need to stick with them.
Right. Right.
So she says, you know, I'll pay you X amount of dollars over 3 months, and that didn't happen. And so then she came back in and wanted to do it again, and we said no, and she got pretty upset. But I accomplished my goal because I really didn't want to carry her from that point on. Mm. All righty. Well, what's on the agenda for the rest of the day, Vicki?
We're heading out to Sportsman Authority,
yeah,
and over to the stained glass store.
Oh, did you know that?
She's a stained glass artist. She's
it. Are you tagging along to carry
I'm
the
tagging
stuff?
Along, yeah.
You're kind of the mule. That's what I say. I'm the mule. Yeah, I'm just carrying your stuff for you.
She's letting me go riding tomorrow, so I'm going to.
Oh, well, that makes it. See?
One
yeah.
Payoff.
Yeah. And this is motorcycles.
Yeah. Motorcycles.
Okay, not horses, but motorcycles. All right. Well, folks, if you're looking for a good repair shop or if you want to see if your repair shop is on our list, then you can go to marksalem.com, marksalem.com. My email address is mark@marksalem.com, and you can email me with any of your questions anytime you want, and I will answer every single one of them. It's important to know that our list is different because I say I've got $5,000 of my money up that if the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to give you money back or effect a repair in your car and the shop does not, two things happen. Shop, number one, the shop is kicked off my list, and number two, I will fix your car or I will make the refund up to $5,000. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is because for 22 years these men and women have performed exactly like they should have, and frankly we've never been to arbitration. Mark@marksalem.com. This is 960 The Patriot, KKNT. My name's Mark Salem. I'll see you next Saturday.